So I want to pick up in September the 8th, 1916, in volume 11. And I have a VIP on this one, but as I warned you already, I probably have a VIP on everything now. For as long as the soul is in the divine will, notice as long, if it's 10 minutes, if it's 24 hours, all my life. For as long as the soul is in the divine will, so much of divine will can she say she lives on the earth. In other words, if you're in consciously in the divine will for 10 minutes, that's all. If you're there 24 hours, you can say, yes, I've lived the divine will for 24 hours. And the whole idea is that we do it every day, every year. Okay. The acts in the divine will are the simplest acts, so don't let anybody complicate you, okay? They're the simplest acts. But because they are simple, they communicate themselves to everything, everyone. Like if you take the light, which is very simple, and you get up in the morning, and even though you've drawn the curtains or drawn the blinds, the light has managed to get around them and under them and over them and everything else. And you know it's day because the light has managed to get past the blocks you gave it. It's because it's so simple it can do that. So Louisa says, after communion this morning, I felt that my beloved Jesus absorbed me completely into his will in a special way. Now, she's been in his will for years. So into his will in a special way is obviously a new depth. And I swam inside of it. But who can say what I felt? I have no words to express myself. And then Jesus told me, my daughter, for as long as the soul is in my will, so much of divine will can she say she lives on the earth. How I like it when I see that the soul enters into my will to live divine will in it. I like very much to see souls who repeat in my will what my humanity did in it. I received communion. I received myself in the will of the Father. And with this, I not only repaired everything, but finding immensity and all-seeingness of everywhere and everyone in the divine will, I embraced all, I gave communion to all. And in seeing that many would not take part in the sacrament, and that the Father was offended for what they didn't, they did not want to receive my life. Now, these people, you're not talking about foreigners and people who don't know, or people in false religions who don't know the truth. You're talking about Protestants and Catholics who claim to be Christians. And in seeing that many would not take part in the sacrament and that the Father was offended, for they did not want to receive my life, I gave to the Father the satisfaction and the glory as if all had received communion. You see, that's one of the things we need to do after communion is enter into his own reception of Holy Communion, take all of his acts, make them my own, offer them to him in the name of all, in reparation and substitution for all souls, past, present and future, who cannot receive him worthily, which includes me, and all those who refuse, for whatever reason they refuse. See, it's actually very simple. Everything in the divine will, a prayer in the divine will only has to take half a minute or a few seconds. They're not long, lengthy things. You too, receive communion in my will and repeat what I did. See, he's told you there, and then he says, repeat it. And in this way, you will not only repair everything, but you will give me to everyone as I intended to give myself to all, and will give me the glory as if all had received communion. That's the beautiful thing we can do. And how much you would want to do that for your children or your grandchildren or your relatives who are not really receiving, yeah. He said, my heart feels moved in seeing that unable to give me anything from her own which is worthy of me, the soul takes my things, she makes them her own, and she imitates the way I did it. So I take his acts, make them my own, offer them to him in reparation and substitution. And to please me, she gives them to me. And I, in my delight, keep repeating, bravo, my daughter, you've done exactly what I did. Then he added, the acts in my will are the simplest acts. And I know because you've been told that twice in this one message. And because they are simple, they communicate themselves to everyone. The light of the sun, because it is simple, is the light of every eye. Yet the sun is only one thing. There's only one sun. Just as one act in my will, like most simple light, diffuses itself into every heart, into every work, and into every person. Yet it is only one act. I'm trying to give you that in English. Is that okay? Mm-hmm. My very being, because it is most simple, is one single act, but an act which contains everything. Now, the astrophysicists call that a singularity. A single spot, and it contains absolutely everything, past, present, and future. I love the term singularity. It sort of tells you how tiny it is, how complete it is, how total it is. My very being, because it is most simple, is one single act, but an act which contains everything. It has no feet, but it's the step of all. It has no eyes, but it's the eye and the light of all. It gives light to life to everything, but with no effort, no toil, and yet it gives the ability to work to everyone. Now notice that when you are doing prayers in the divine will, it seems as if you're not doing anything. You know, you say, how can these few words have such an absolutely extraordinary effect? But he's trying to say to us that without labour and without toil, he's able to affect everything. It's just that we have to kind of grasp what is this divine will. So the soul in my will becomes simple. Now, that is a VIP point. We usually start out complicated, and then the Lord simplifies us, simplifies us, simplifies us. And together with me, she multiplies in all and does good to all. Oh, if all understood the immense value of the acts, even the simplest done in my will, they'd not let one act escape them. I remember about 2 years ago, Tom Fahey came to visit me here in the house, and we had our conversation, and then eventually he said, what age are you? So I told him my age, which was approximately his own. And he said, oh, you and I are in a hurry to do all our acts. He said, we'll be brought home quicker than we think.
No.
I thought it was very interesting that we're in a hurry to do our acts. And I thought, and yet it was such a simple thing to say. But his concentration was on doing what God wants us to do. Whatever he wants us to do, we're in a hurry. The older we get, the more in a hurry we are. But I think it's rather interesting. So October the 2nd, 1916, the effects of communion in the divine will. This morning I received communion in the way Jesus had taught me. That is the way we've just described in the last message. That is, united with his humanity, his divinity and his will. And Jesus, on coming, made himself seen, and I kissed him and clasped him to my heart. He returned my kiss and my embrace. And he told me, my daughter, how content I am that you have come to receive me, united with my humanity, divinity and will. You have renewed in me all the contentment I received when I communicated myself. And while you were kissing me and embracing me, since all of myself was in you, you contained all souls. And I felt I was given the kiss of all. That's the beauty, isn't it? And the embraces of all, because this was your will. And it was mine in communicating myself to return to the Father all the love of souls, even though many do not love him. the Father made up for their love in me. Now, you need to really look at that. Jesus said, the Father and I are one. Okay, so I want to give you John 15:9. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you, so you should love one another. And to me, it's in the divine will that you can truly respond to that. John 15:9. In fact, it's only at the level of the divine will that I think you can respond fully to, so you must love one another. The Father made up for their love for me, and I make up for the love of all souls in you. So what the Father did for Jesus, Jesus does for us. And we do it for all the others. That's your John 15:9. And having found in my will one who loves me and repairs me, etc., in the name of all, because in my will there's nothing that the creature cannot give me. Would you underline the nothing? There's nothing that you can't give him, because you'll find everything in him. I feel like loving souls, even if they offend me. And I keep inventing stratagems of love around the hardest hearts in order to convert them. Only for love of these souls, they're the souls in my will, who do everything in my will, do I feel as though chained and captured, and I concede to them the prodigies of the greatest conversions. Now, will you know about these conversions? Most likely no. It's not good for you to know. But you will know in heaven when souls will come to you and say, I'm here because of you. Yeah. So that's a very beautiful message there. October 13th, 1916, I have a VIP on this as well. How the angels are around the soul who does the hours of the passion. Look at that. Isn't that beautiful? These hours are sweet little sips that souls give to Jesus. So Louisa said, I was doing the hours of the Passion and Blessed Jesus told me, my daughter, in the course of my mortal life, thousands and thousands of angels were the cortege of my humanity, gathering everything I did, my steps, my works, my words, and even my sighs, my pains, the drops of my blood, everything. They were the angels in charge of my custody and of paying me honour. Obedient to my every wish, they would rise to and descend from heaven to bring to the Father what I was doing. Now that's John 1:51, the ladder with the angels going up and down. Do you remember? John 1:51. Now, these angels have a special office, and as the soul remembers my life, my passion, my blood, my wounds, my prayers, they come around this soul and gather her words, her prayers, her acts of compassion for me, her tears and her sufferings. They unite them to mine, and they bring them before my majesty to renew for me the glory of my life. Isn't that fantastic? Now, for that, I want to give you Hebrews 1:14. The angels act as our servants on the earth. If only we would call upon them more. So that's Hebrews 1:14. The delight of the angels is so great that reverent, they listen to what the soul says and pray together with her. I love that. So, with what attention and respect must the soul do these hours? Note that one. Thinking that the angels hang upon her lips to repeat after her what she says. Now, I love that. So I say something in one of the hours of the Passion, the angels are repeating it. In other words, the angel needs me to say it for them to be able to say it. They were not given it in their realm. We were given it in our realm. And so they need us to say it so that they can say it. So here you are on this level and the angels are there and we're joining together. I think it's beautiful. Wouldn't it help you to say the hours of the Passion? Yeah. So then he added, after so much bitterness the creatures give me, these hours are sweet little sips that souls give to me. But for the many bitter sips I receive, the sweet ones are too few. Therefore, more diffusion, more diffusion. In other words, tell it more people. Okay. So October the 20th, 1916, grace is like sunlight and it gives itself to everyone. I think that's beautiful, isn't it? I was fusing myself in the divine will, and the thought came to me of commending to it various people in a special way. Because we're always praying for people, aren't we? And Jesus said, my daughter, specificity, the big word, goes by itself, even if you should not place the intention, any intention. It's very interesting. In other words, if you're talking about cups, you're talking about cups, not saucers. We need to actually be clear. Like if we're communicating with each other, if we're talking to each other and you don't even know the subject, you just say to yourself, what the heck are all these words coming from? She's not saying anything about anything. Do you know what I mean? Like our communication has got to be directed and it's got to be on a particular subject. And it's the same with prayer as well. You can't just sort of say prayers like clouds up there and there's no address on them. And the more specific you are in what you are actually targeting with your prayer, the more powerful. Because the angels know where to take it. I think the angels take some prayers up to heaven and the post office up there says, well, who is this for? Who is it? Who is the letter written to? And who is it supposed to benefit? Because the prayer is just prayed. Do you know what I mean? Have you got me? Mm-hmm. Because prayers can be diffuse. And we're told to be specific. Like Jesus was very specific. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come on earth. Your will be done on earth. And after that, give them their daily bread. Help them to forgive each other. Deliver them from evil. Very specific. So you have to be specific, even if you don't place an intention. I think it's terribly important to place an intention. In the order of grace, it happens in the same way as the natural order. In other words, you've got to be very specific. The sun gives light to everyone. And yet not everyone enjoys the same effects, because some people go out and bathe in the sunlight. Other people hide and pull the curtains. So the ones who hide and pull the curtains are not going to get the same benefits as the ones getting sunburned. However, this is not because of the sun, it's because of our decision. One uses the light of the sun in order to work, to be industrious, to learn, to appreciate things. And this one makes herself rich, she constitutes herself and does not go around begging for bread from others. Someone else keeps lazing about. These are the ones that only want sunburn, but they don't want anything else. She does not want to meddle in anything. The light of the sun inundates her everywhere, but for her it's useless. She wants to do nothing with it. Now, those of us who are teachers know it's very fascinating. I've noticed it on a secondary school level, even more particularly at a primary school level. When the sun shines, the children are all energy. I want to get up and do stuff. And if it's raining, they lose the motivation to actually work. And so the sunlight actually energizes them to do stuff. But if the sunlight makes us lazy, we're in trouble. So the second one keeps lazing about. Okay, she doesn't want to meddle in anything. The light of the sun inundates her everywhere, but for her it's useless and she wants to do nothing with it. So there's the lazy bones. This one is poor and sickly, because a sloth produces many evils. Now, sloth is one of the deadly sins. Sloth is one of the deadly sins. It produces many evils, physical and moral. And if she feels hungry, she needs to beg for someone else's bread because she's too lazy to do something about it herself. Now, is the light of the sun perhaps responsible for these two, or does it give more to one than to the other? Certainly not. Now, when I was reading this, I thought of the 10 virgins. Do you remember? So Matthew 25, 1 to 13. Matthew 25, 1 to 13. Some of them were too lazy to get the oil and wanted to get it from the others in the end. So Jesus says there's no difference between them. The only difference is that one takes advantage of the light in a special way and the other one does not. So that's Matthew 24, 41. Now, the same happens in the order of grace, which more than light inundates souls. At one point, it makes itself all voice to call them, voice to instruct them and to correct them. At other times, it makes itself fire and burns away from them the things of down here. Down here is the earth, okay? The low level. That's the earth. And with its flames, it puts to flight creatures and pleasures from them. And that's the stripping, when the Lord allows stripping. That is, that something, he allows trials and difficulties to get you to free yourself from things you're attached to. And with its burns, it forms pains and crosses in order to give to the soul the shape of sanctity it wants from her. Now, notice that whether the grace is light and beauty or whether it's crosses and pain, it's the same gift that's coming from God, and God is infinite love, because both are to produce sanctity. Okay, so sometimes you need one and sometimes you need another. Sometimes grace makes itself water. This is number three. Now, number one was voice, number two is fire, and number three is water. Sometimes it makes itself water and purifies her, embellishes her, and impregnates her completely with grace. But who is attentive on receiving all of these flows of grace? Who responds to me? And Jesus said, very few. And then some dare to say that to these I give grace for them to make themselves saints, and to others I do not, almost wanting to hold me responsible, while they content themselves with conducting their lives lazing about as if the light of grace were not there for them. Isn't that wonderful? Mm-hmm. Matthew 25, 29. You did not give bread to the hungry. You did not, you lazy so-and-sos. Okay. So, then he added, my daughter, I love the soul so much that I myself have placed myself as sentry of each heart to watch them, to defend them, and to work their sanctification with my own hands. That's Ephesians 2:10. We are God's work of art. Ephesians 2:10. Now, if you just take that sentence by itself, there's no such a thing as coincidence. There's no such a thing as sort of accident. No matter who is responsible for what happens to you, God is working within you for your sanctification. Okay. And no matter whether it's a trial or a difficulty or it's something pleasant, it doesn't actually matter what it is. God wants it for you to actually grow in holiness. And if we get that, life will become an awful lot simpler for us, instead of saying so-and-so is responsible for this and so-and-so is responsible for that. So he says, I work their sanctification with my own hands. I think that's beautiful. So the shepherd is personally involved with the sheep. Okay, so I want to give you Psalm 23 for that. The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want. He takes care of everything. But how much bitterness do they not subject me to? Some reject me, and some don't care about me and despise me, and some lament about my surveillance. I love that. I want to give you Psalm 139 for that. Lord, you know my thoughts before I think them and my words before I say them. But of course, if you don't love God and you want to live a very selfish life, you'll think of him as big brother is watching you. You know what I mean? Some lament about my surveillance. Some slam the door in my face, rendering my work useless because the human will has the casting vote. And I had not only placed myself to act as sentry, but on purpose do I choose the souls who live in my will. Now, please, will you put a huge coloured marker on that. You are chosen to live in the divine will. I hope that makes you feel better. Does it? Because we're aware of our struggles and our difficulties and our this and our that and our the other. And if you could realize that you were chosen for this, then the sheer privilege of it would make you move on. But on purpose, do I choose souls to live in my will? In fact, since they are present in all of me, that's humanity, divinity and will. I usually simplify that and I say, Lord, I want to fuse all of me in all of you. Just to be simple about it. I place them with me as a second century of each heart. Now, the statement there is absolutely massive. He is the century of our heart. We live fused in him. In him we find all souls. So he said, I place them as century, second century in all souls. In other words, you have to do the intercession that these souls are saved. That you've got to take care of them. And you've got to be as detailed in wanting to love them as he is in wanting to love us. These second centuries console me, repay me for them, and keep me company in the loneliness into which many hearts force me. And they force me not to leave them. Now, I think that's an absolutely astonishing statement. In other words, if somebody is really, really rebellious against God and someone like us sticks by those rebellious souls and says, no, I'm going to keep at this. You'll get there.
Isn't that something like Gregory with going to the father's grave?
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. But also Rachel, who kept at Gregory for a number of years. Yeah. And she would not let go. Rachel is not a real name.
Yeah.
It's a name we put on her, meaning God's beloved.
Yeah.
But she kept after him and after him and after him, and no matter how he reacted negatively or anything else, and gradually she wore him down. And look what an incredible thing happened. You know, it's really that it's, if we could only get a handle on what will happen to somebody else if we don't give up, you know. And there's a scripture now, it's just come to my mind, and it's somewhere in Romans that St. Paul says that scripture is full of examples of how God helps those who refuse to give up. You know, full of examples. So these souls chosen in the divine will are the second centuries, and they console me, they repay me for them, for the other souls. They keep me company in the loneliness into which many hearts force me, and they force me not to leave them. Watch this. I have this in two colours to make sure that I understand. Greater grace I could not give to souls. By giving them these souls who live in my will and who are the portent of portents. God couldn't give a greater gift to all the people on earth than people living in the divine will. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
So I think that's so important. I've given it two colours. So October the 30th, 1916, we have threats of scourges in Italy. Louisa said, I was lamenting with my beloved Jesus for in these past days he would hardly come and I would just barely perceive his shadow and then he would disappear. And blessed Jesus told me, my daughter, how quickly you forget that on those days in which I do not come so much and I escape you, it's for nothing else but to give one more winding to the scourges. So there's your Amos 3:7 again, that God tells the prophet ahead of time. Now we're in the middle of World War I, okay, 1914 to 1918. And so Jesus said, things will rage more and more. A man has reached such perversity, he said, that it's not enough to touch his flesh to make him surrender. But I have to come to the point of pulverizing him. Isn't that absolutely amazing?
Mm-hmm.
So I want to give you Revelation 9, verses 20 and 21. Revelation 9. Therefore, he said, one nation will invade another, and they will lacerate each other. Blood will flow like water in the towns. They said it was the war to end all wars, didn't they? But it ended nothing. Even more, in certain towns, they will become the enemies of themselves and they'll fight one another. In other words, civil war. They will kill one another and they will do things as though crazy. How much man grieves me. I myself cry over him. At the words of Jesus, I burst into crying, Louisa said, and I prayed him to spare poor Italy. But Jesus continued, Italy, Italy, ah, if you knew how much evil she is up to, how many plots against my church. The blood she is causing to be shed in battle is not enough for her. She's thirsty for more blood. But wants the blood of my children and the blood of the primate. In other words, she wants the Pope. Yeah. My children, of course, are members of the church. She wants to stain herself with such crimes as to draw upon herself the revenge of heaven and of other nations. Notice the and. I remain terrorized, Louisa said. I fear greatly, but I hope that the Lord will placate himself. She doesn't say, I hope Italy will change. Isn't it amazing? So, November the 15th, 1916. The soul forms her paradise on earth. Now, you need to put a VIP beside that. In other words, you're responsible for whether you get to heaven or not and how big your palace is in heaven. Now, St. Paul is quite clear on this in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 11 to 15. And he says that on earth, you decide yourself with your own actions whether you're going to live in a tent in heaven or a palace. And you decide by your actions on earth whether your tent is going to be made of cloth, wood, or metals, or gems, or whatever. And he says, the cloth and the wood and the grass won't survive the fire. In other words, we're all tested by fire. Okay, so we're really responsible for what we have on the other side. You know the joke they tell about a bus driver and a priest died on the same day in the same hour and arrived in heaven at the same time. Okay. And so St. Peter decided that he would bring both of them to their destination. And he said to the priest, I hope you don't mind now, we're going to bring the bus driver to his palace first. And he got this wonderful big palace, you see. So the priest thought, no. I must be going to get something great, you know. And then he was brought down the street and he was given a tiny little house. And he said to Peter, look, I know you're not supposed to complain in heaven or anything, you know. But can you explain, what did he do? I said Mass every day of my life. I gave the sacraments. I taught the people. I blah, 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 you see. And he said, Father, when you gave your sermons, they all slept. When he drove his bus, they all prayed. You get different palaces in heaven. I love that because it's not the answer you're expecting, is it? So here's November the 15th, 1916. Jesus said, Louisa said, I was lamenting to my sweet Jesus that he no longer loved me as before. She loves going on like that. So he said, my daughter, not loving one who loves me is impossible for me. God is love. 1 John 4:7. That's his nature. Okay. And Psalm 145:17. God only ever acts out of love. So Jesus said, rather, I feel so drawn to her that at the littlest act of love that she does for me, notice littlest. Mm. He's not looking for great things. Mm. I respond with triple love. Why triple love? Father, Son and Holy Spirit. Okay. And I place a divine vein in her heart, which administers to her divine knowledge, divine sanctity, and divine virtue. Now notice this vein. That's like saying that the doctor has inserted a tube into you, which is feeding you the stuff that you need to receive. And this divine vein is giving divine knowledge, divine sanctity, and divine virtue. Now, it's divine knowledge that we need. We've lots of human knowledge. It's divine sanctity that we need. We have ordinary holiness, okay? And it's divine virtue. The more the soul loves me, the more this divine vein rises, and watering all the powers of the soul, intellect, memory, and will, the powers of the soul, it diffuses for the good of the other souls. I've placed this vein in you, he said. And when you lack my presence and do not hear my voice, this vein will make up for everything and will be the voice for you and for the other creatures. So that's that message complete. On another day, Louisa was fusing all of herself, as usual, in the divine and blessed Jesus. And he said to her, my daughter, the more you fuse yourself in me, the more I fuse myself in you. Would you put a big, big marker on that one? And do it as frequently as you can. So, it is on earth that the soul forms her paradise. According to how much she fills herself with holy thoughts, with holy affections, with holy desires, with holy words, with holy works and steps, so does she keep forming her paradise. So these are all the bricks to make your palace. To one more holy thought or word, one more contentment will correspond at the many varieties of beauty, contentment, glory, for as much good as she has done. 1 Corinthians 3, 10 to 15. What will the surprise of this soul be when, once the prison of her body is broken, immediately she will find herself in the sea of as many pleasures and happinesses, as much light and beauty for as much good that she has done, even for a thought. Isn't that fantastic? So, let's do November the 30th, 1916. The benefits of repairing for others. Louisa said, I was very afflicted because of the privation of my adorable Jesus, and I cried bitterly. And as I was doing the hours of the Passion, a thought tormented me, saying to me, look at what good your reparations for others have done to you. They've caused you to let Jesus escape you, and much more nonsense. That is nonsense. Why? Because he's within her all the time. But blessed Jesus was moved with compassion, and he said, my daughter, you are my goad. My love is cornered by your violences. You don't need the S. Matthew 11, 12 says that the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent take it by force. Now, some people are just too lazy to become saints. They wouldn't be bothered paying the price. So they don't become saints. If you knew how much I suffer in seeing you suffer because of me. It is justice that wants to pour itself out, and your very violence forces me to hide. Things will rage more, therefore you have to have patience. Besides, know that the reparations done for others have done great good to you. Now that's not what you're expecting, is it? Okay. Because in repairing for others, you intended to do what I did, and I repaired for all. Therefore, you're included. If you pray for all souls, past, present and future, you actually are one of them. If you pray for all the dying, past, present and future, then you are prayed for in your dying, even if nobody else prayed. See the logic that he's using. So it also you're repaired for you. I asked forgiveness for all. I grieved for the offences of all. And I asked forgiveness for you. And for you also I grieved. Therefore, as you did what I did, you also take the reparations, forgiveness and sorrow that I had for you. So, what could be more good for you than my reparations, my forgiveness and my sorrow? Mine or yours? And then he said, I never let myself be surpassed in love. When I see that for love of me, the soul is all intent on repairing me, loving me, apologizing to me and asking forgiveness for sinners, to give her tit for tat, I ask forgiveness for her in a special way. Now, I don't know about you, but I would underline that about three times. Okay. And I repair for love of her, and I keep embellishing her soul with my love, with my reparations and my forgiveness. Therefore, continue to repair and do not raise conflicts between you and me. Isn't that a nice message? Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm going to leave it there for tonight.